It's my great pleasure to talk to, I think, one of the more funny, candid coaches in America, any level. He happens to be a native South Dakotan, so of course he's candid and funny and enjoyable to talk to. And he's in Sioux Falls tomorrow night, the fourth annual Augustana Celebrity Party at CJ Calloway's. That'll be a cool event, and they got themselves a good keynote speaker. He is Tim Miles, the head coach, University of Nebraska basketball, headed into his fifth year. And right now he's kind of doing half vacationing, half banquet circuit, maybe a little recruiting. I want to ask you first, coming off of the Memorial Day weekend, were you able to throw a few extra steaks on the grill, maybe drink a few extra beers, and knowing that you finally have a big man to work with going into a season?
Well, a couple things first. You put a lot of stuff together there, John. I love it. But I hope I get to meet the celebrity at the Augie banquet. That'll be a lot of fun. But, no, it's exciting for me to come back. My parents, my brother, my sister all live in Sioux Falls. So I come back on a fairly regular basis. I don't get up to my hometown very much at Dolan, but I'm really fired up for the thing, and I'm fired up on our team. I really like where we're at. I think our roster is probably as strong as we've had it since I've been here. I thought we did a good job jump starting it, and of course we made that NCAA tournament right away, and then had just an awful season the next season, just a difficult season to go through. And we didn't win. We weren't successful. And then we lost a lot of manpower, and we put a good recruiting class together, and now another one right behind it.
Yeah, it's been interesting because most places you've gone, it's been either at the bottom rung and you're building it up, or it certainly needs a pick-me-up. Nebraska was no exception, but you've had some nice gradual ascensions in all of your stops. And at Nebraska, you had more instant success, unexpected instant success in year two, and then a little regression that you just mentioned the last couple of years. How difficult has that been for you just personally to deal with, to question or change your methods? Have you done?
Well, the third year was a disappointing year. When you consider that last season we played 3 and 4 freshmen, true freshmen on the floor at one time, Siobhan missed 4 games plus. I wasn't that dissatisfied. You know, if you consider that we won 8 Big Ten games. Now, granted, we did get Rutgers in there, but still, everybody played them. So it was one of those things that when I looked at it, it didn't surprise me that we were going to be around 500, you know. But losing all that manpower, Walt Pitchford could have came back. I think that would have put 3 or 4 wins in the book. Teran Pettaway could have come back, you know, but we knew he was probably gone anyway. And then we lost a strong 4-man senior class with Moses Abraham, Dave Rivers, Leslie Smith, and I'm forgetting somebody, unfortunately. So, you know, we knew that we were probably going to regress a little bit last year, so I wasn't surprised. I like where we're at. I'm glad Jordy Kuminga is a huge player, 7'4" wingspan, 285 pounds, probably needs to play at about 270 pounds, but he moves, he's very aggressive. He'll be our best low post guy that we've had, since I've been to Nebraska. And so I'm excited about that. And I think that when you look at Isaiah Roby and now James Palmer, the transfer from Miami that will be eligible the next year, you're looking at a guard with a 6'10 wingspan who can play and was the top 100 player. And you've got Isaiah Roby with a 7-foot wingspan. And now you've got that length that you can be good on the boards, you can be good defensively, and we just need enough shooting and ball handling and driving ability to be good on offense, too. And I think we've got a lot of those things in place.
He's Tim Miles, Nebraska's men's basketball coach, going into his fifth year, Dolan, South Dakota native. This is Sports Talk with Craig and John here on Sioux Falls Sports Radio, KWSN. I think if you talk to the astute Nebraska basketball fan or media member, well, any of us who were astute, they expected what you said about year number 4, but year number 3, as you mentioned, coming off, riding so high off that first NCAA berth in 16 years, and then having most of the guys back, except Ray Gallegos, in a disappointing finish. What did that season teach you as a coach? Did you learn lessons, maybe just about the Big Ten, coaching at the absolute highest level? I mean, What lessons did you learn from that particular season?
Well, the one thing I learned is if you end the season between McNeese State and Coppin State in three-point shooting, you've got a real problem on your hands.
Okay.
we truly did not make shots. And whether we were ill-prepared going in or it became, you know, just the lineups I put together, for whatever reason, we couldn't solve that riddle. And we'd come off a pretty decent two-year run of making threes, lost Ray Gallegos. I don't think there was a huge amount of game planning, that surprised us. But it's just kind of as the season went on, the crux of our problems got worse and worse. And then, unfortunately, we had some real difficulties within the program in terms of, Chris Harriman's son had another relapse of leukemia. Mm-hmm. Tran Pettaway's mom's cancer moved from her lymph nodes and her legs up to her lungs. And so we knew that was probably terminal. And Davis Rivers' dad eventually died at the conclusion of the season. And we just had a lot of things that weren't good. It was just a difficult year. And I just don't know if you could plan the calamity. But I do know this. They're good kids. They didn't want to lose. And unfortunately, I couldn't get on top of it soon enough to solve the problems, and that's ultimately on me. But I like the way we ended last season, and I'm really excited going into the future seasons because I think we've probably got as much talent as we've been able to collect in a long time. And I can only coach so good, John. You know this. I've proven that to a lot of people for a long time. So I need players, and I'm not that crazy, but it's should be a lot of fun, and I'm excited to get going again here soon.
Well, and that 2014 season that helped a lot of people. It helped the entire Nebraska program. It helped Craig Smith, your buddy and right-hand man for so many years, so many jobs, get the job at USD. I think a lot of Coyote fans and certainly Husker fans would love to know what have you lost or what do you miss about having Craig around and experienced that the last 2 years?
Well, Craig and I are friends, first and foremost. We've developed a friendship over 20 years where we've worked together very well at Mayville, at CSU, at North Dakota State, and at Nebraska. And, he's a great friend, and he's an excellent coach. He does as well of game planning as anybody defensively that I've been around. And I think that's ultimately why as USD gets better, you'll see their defense improve. You'll see really where the bite is in Coyote basketball. And so they should be excited because they got the right man at the helm, and I'm excited for them. And so, I miss my friend, my golf partner, but we certainly miss his ability to coach. But it's just like anything. Jim Molinari comes in, brings something different to the table. Now Michael Lewis comes in, and who is a, Indiana all-time assist leader, played for Bobby Knight, the only guy caught on camera mouthing back to Bobby Knight and living to tell about it. And so Michael is a great kid. We were able to get him from Butler, Kenya Hunter from Georgetown, and then Jim Molinari was a sitting Division I head coach, over 300 wins. So I love our staff now. I think we're in good shape. I think had we flip-flopped those seasons and did what we did the first season, went 13-18 the next or whatever it was, and then went to the NCAA, then lost a whole bunch of manpower and went 16-18, I think we'd be in fine shape and people would be talking about the great direction. And that's where I think we should be talking about, because I really am excited about what we're doing. And it should be a blast, John. I tell you, we may try and get a game up here in Sioux Falls at some point. I've worked closely with Paul Seville, who's helped organize that, some of his compadres. So hopefully we can make that happen so the Siouxland Huskers can come out full force and make it a home game for Nebraska.
Well, that'd be fun. Gopher fans, obviously Jackrabbit fans, Iowa State fans have all enjoyed that part of it at the Pentagon. I think if Nebraska came up, it might have to move to the Denny Sanford Center or something bigger. But it's a traveling road show, and he is a traveling road show. Tim Miles at the 4th annual Augustana Celebrity Party tomorrow night at CJ Calloway's. He's on Sports Talk with Craig and John here on KWSN right now with John Gaskins. And, okay, I know the goal for you every season is NCAA tournament. You guys were openly talking about that in your second season, 2013-14, when nobody was expecting you to make it. Is that the goal every year? And how can you speak? How can you speak of this year? Because you've known in past seasons we're going to lose some games. We probably won't be an NCAA tournament team. What can you say right now is your expectation, not just the goal, but the expectation for your number five?
Well, the standard is always is the NCAA tournament, because I can't imagine looking a senior in the eye and saying, gee, I hope we get ninth in the league and make the NIT or the CBI. What do you think, buddy? You know,
right.
I just think that's completely unfair. I think we'll be markedly better. I would expect us to at least flip the number we had and improve on that. And anytime if you can get in the top, I know right now if you just look at the returning numbers, I think they've got us at about 9 in terms of expectation of new players, returning numbers. I think we're probably 9 in all the analytics, 8 or 9. And if you get top 6 or 7, you'll make the NCAA tournament. So, but it takes a complete year. You know, it's like one of my freshmen, Glenn Watson, said to me, you know, Coach, what I didn't realize, and I know it sounds foolish, is that every game matters. You know, when you're in high school, you're automatically in the state tournament. You know, you got to play subs or district tournaments to regionals or whatever, but everybody gets their crack, and that's not the way it works in college basketball. So every game matters. So if we, you know, screw up and we don't come prepared for whoever it might be, like Samford, and or come out with a lead, and the second half they punch us in the mouth and we all of a sudden look up, that any team on any given night can get you. And he goes, I just didn't see it that way. And I guess that's, you know, it occurred to me that I need to do a better job explaining that, you know, we talk about it, but we don't talk about it in terms of it's relative to them probably. I talk about it in terms of relative to me and my profession, which is not every team makes it. This is what it looks like to be an at-large team. And they're probably looking at me like I'm, speaking Japanese to them, because it's not relative to them. And so I think we need to do a better job. And I hope the Sioux Falls folks are going to love, I know they're going to love your show, and I bet they're happy to have you back, because you've done a great job in Lincoln, where we're going to miss you a great deal, John. So good luck on your new gig too. I just want to make sure and work that in there.
That's much appreciated. And
don't screw it up. Don't screw it up, John.
Well, I did the first
Come
time,
on.
And I did the first time, and they were dumb enough to bring me back. So I'm in a good spot here, and this is a good early highlight. Talking with Tim Miles, and you know, you've mentioned the 3-point shot and how it can kill or make a season. You mentioned that about your third year. We're watching the Golden State Warriors right now. And, you know, they're the best in the world at it, and they're the best team in the world. At the highest level, they're the best team. They barely survived to keep it that way. And here we go starting Thursday. But, you know, we talked to Craig Smith about this last week. Do you bemoan or do you love the fact that the 3-point shot is so important? You need to recruit 3-point shooters. Or do you think to a degree it's hurting the game, the fundamentals of the game that a lot of people in South Dakota love and kind of miss?
Well, it's a fact of life. You know, I didn't love when South Dakota, after my senior year of high school, went from Class A and Class B to Double A, A and B. You know, I was like, I don't like it. You know, it's one of those situations where times change and you adapt, or they forget about you. So, if you're a purist, an old school, whatever you want to call it, and you don't like the fact the way the three is being handled, it's not going away. So I just kind of look at it that way. This is my 5th head coaching job. So I've had to adapt to a whole bunch of different conferences, from NAI to Division II to Division I independent to mid-major to high major. You have to adapt all the time. So I guess the way I look at it is that's simply the important part, is how we adapt to it. And I'm as concerned as how we score them as I am with how we stop them. And I don't think it's a bad thing. You know, I think that, you know, when you watch the ball movement of the San Antonio Spurs and you see all that ball movement and then a wide open shot happens to be a three or whatever it might be, I think that's a great way. I think Golden State shares it as well as anybody. I think if you look at the resurgence of points per possession with Cleveland, you know, they're making more threes than ever. J.R. Smith is shooting the ball unbelievably well. And Teron Lue, of course, played for Danny Nee when it was Run and Gun City down there in Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
So our own guy at Nebraska has got the same kind of concept. So it should be a great finals. There's no doubt about it.
Hey, you mentioned Danny Nee and Tim Miles, the current Nebraska basketball coach, joining us here for a couple more moments on KWSN. I've dove into your book, Nebraska Ball. It's a very very candid glimpse into you and the program from that NCAA tournament season. You're noted for being very hard on your players, as a lot of coaches are, during practice and during games. I mean, almost to the point where it would probably make you even advised the author Scott Winter to leave out the expletives just for that.
Yeah, you would cry, John.
Oh, I wouldn't be able to handle a second of you.
I'm kidding.
I wouldn't. I don't think I would. I wasn't very good at that. But your players have to be. How are you able to do that and still have them to play hard for you? Because obviously, everywhere you've been, that's happened, and you've won games. What all goes into your approach to the yin and yang of coaching, especially at the highest level, these 18 to 22 year olds?
Well, I think the first thing you ask a player is, what do you want your coach to be? You know, what do you want your coach to be? Just tell me, what do you want? You want me to be your buddy? Do you want me to be a guy that pats you on the back? And to a man, they'll say, Coach, I want you to do whatever it takes to make me better. Okay, so, all right, I'm going to tell you how to do it. I'm going to teach you. We're going to go to a certain point. And then you're going to flatten out. You know, the learning curve flattens out. So how do we take it to excellence? You know, how do we keep raising the bar? How do we bring about a mental toughness that hasn't even occurred to you yet? Because those are the things that are going to have to happen for you, for us to be the kind of team we need to be successful, and certainly usually for you. We don't always get a, you know, one-and-done draft pick guy. We don't get a guy that's an automatic All-American. I think the last time we got a guy like that, we stole him from Augie at Northern State and Eric Klein. And we didn't steal him. He gladly transferred. Oh, no, I forget how I'm saying that. But, you know, it happens.
Right.
So, but it just doesn't, you know, that was small college basketball. That was, we were NAIA back then. And so, you know, you just don't always have that. So I think one is getting an understanding and giving them an understanding is, okay, what's a coach look like? You know, is he the Grim Reaper hanging over your career, ready to chop it off, chop its head off, you know? Or is he a guy that is going to be demanding and relentless in terms of having punishing expectations of performance every day, and he's going to hold you to that level? Because if I don't, then you're settling for less. And then it gets down to how well they trust you, how well you know them, how well you can build their confidence in the meantime, when to, you know, push what button or hit the gas on a kid. Because if they're insecure, you just can't do it often, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of young people out there in the world, there always have been, that are insecure. I was one going to college. I was an insecure young kid. Now you insulate yourself and you draw more confidence when you have more success, but really nothing succeeds success. So you have to go out there and prove it. So also putting those guys in a position where they feel they're going to be successful, have the confidence they can do their job, I think is important. And then you just got to convince them it doesn't come easy. That this takes time, my man, you know. And if when you look at the transfers and the volume of transfers that's out there, that's not always the easiest thing in the world because, you know, I'm driving right now. I don't know if you can hear it or not, but
amazingly, no. It sounds great.
Because I'm driving in the living room. It's a Cadillac Escalade. It's as the temperature is exactly where I want it to be. It's quiet. I can listen to whatever music I want to find out wherever it is. And it's just an amazing deal, you know, when you look at that, because quite frankly, you know, we're accustomed to those things. We're accustomed to those things in our society nowadays. We want it perfectly. We want it now. We want it microwave. We want it just our temperature. I look at my Tombstone pizza for the last 15 years, and I know exactly what I'm getting every time I put it in the oven for 15 minutes at 400 degrees. It's going to come out tasty with just a little brown crust, you know, or whatever it might be, right?
You've at least upgraded to DiGiorno by now, I would think.
You know, I have not. Gabe won't do it. My son, who's my pizza partner, won't do it. He won't do the thick crust. I'm like, Gabe, I promise we can afford it. It's not a big deal. And, you know, I'm afraid to feed him Tony's. You know, Schwan's out of Marshall was, you know, Red Baron and Tony's. So, but I've been kind of a Tombstone lover deep down so we're right there. We're right there. Pull it out of the freezer and throw it in. But you know what you're getting. You get it often. And people expect the same of their frozen pizzas they do their playing careers. Yeah. They want it perfect every time, and it just doesn't work that way.
You've been so giving every time. I've got one more at-large issue, and then just a couple of rapid-fire questions. Very selfish questions, by the way, while I have you. But,
Great.
You know, the how has describe the AAU culture, and within that, this is going to be a very artistic job by you, because this is a double-barreled question, basically. Weave both of these items in. AAU basketball, and if it's helping or hurting the game, and the attitudes of players, you know, just coming from a coach who has to recruit and has to go to a lot of AAU tournaments, and also, what's different about approaching kids today from what it used from when you started coaching, or even 10 years ago? It seems like because of phones, they're not as good at confrontation and head to head, face to face communication.
Yeah, well, you're exactly right on the back end. Kids would rather text. Nobody wants to deliver bad news. And one of the first rules in our program is if you've got bad news delivered early, I need to know so I can help you if there's bad news. And I would also like bad news delivered early if you're not interested in my school, you know, if you're that crazy.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, the AAU culture is one that I really enjoy, and here's why. Because, you know, back in my day, you had all-star teams or all-star camps, and those are really fun to watch. And now you've got those really to a certain point, almost ad nauseum, but you really do get a chance to evaluate the best players against the best competition often. And to have that luxury and have that ability is really helpful for us in being selfish, for us doing what we do. And so it's vital to me that we have those the AAU teams, the large tournaments with national level competition. I can't get to every high school. I can't get to there's no way it's going to be disbanded. And I think what you're going to find in college football is as high schools progress with 7-on-7 tournaments and they become more nationalized, you're going to have the same element in college football and high school football. They're not very far away from that, I believe. So, you know, as we look at things, I think it's important to remember that it's helpful for the kids to play against better competition, and any environment can be toxic. If you work at a business place that sells insurance that has 8 employees, one employee can come in and make it a real pain in the butt to work there. You know, you got to tiptoe around this guy, or you'd watch what you say to Alice, or whatever it might be. You know, it's one thing or another, right? And so the AAU culture is no different than that. You can have a family that's, you know, just single-minded about their own child. Hey, what's wrong with loving your child? But what's wrong if you're a beat-the-system type of deal? Well, if this isn't working here, we'll just go there. Well, what does that teach us? You know, what does that teach the kid or whatever it might be? So I think you just got to look at it realistically, you know, and try and do the right thing. But also, it's got to be well thought out, and while not every marriage works, and there's amicable, there's friendly divorces, that, you know, there can be the same way in a transfer situation or a kid leaving an AAU program. So I just think it's all in the way you handle things. But these young guys nowadays are very technologically advanced, and one of the ways to really talk to them is via text, chat it up with them. There are teams I know that are gamers. They game with their kids. They have their assistant coaches on, you know, Call of Duty, playing a kid, communicating over a video game, you know, across the country. And it's just it's amazing to me, you know, the creativeness or the things that happen to bond with in the recruiting process that has to happen. And by and large, the most difficult thing, the thing our kids want the most, is more of my time. And you know what? My children actually would like more of my time too. So how much and how we find ways and how creative we are to spend time with our guys, to create that trust, to create that connection, especially as a head coach, as we referred to earlier, if they caught us talking about me being the hardest coach in the world to play for. You know, hell, I'm Bear Bryant, it sounds like to me. So, you know, but being out there and getting to know these guys, they, no matter what, they want reassurance. They deserve it. And so we need to give it to them. We need to find better and better ways to give it to them.
I by the way, I take that back. I could play for you because I know we'd be laughing about it right after that. That's the yin and the yeah. yang. That's definitely the other part of it. We're precious with your time. Rapid fire. You mentioned marriage. I just got married. Any marital advice from you?
Always say yes, dear.
Yeah. Any advice for living in a small town? I am in Lenox now, population 2,100. Work in Sioux Falls, live in Lenox. You have some experience with this.
Well, first of all, you better learn to cook. Second of all, be a member at the course, get to know everybody. Yeah. What I tell everybody anytime they move to any other town is you should get to know a lawyer, you should get to know the cop, you should get to know a dentist. Right? Now,
right.
My reasons are a little bit different than yours.
Yes.
But it's good to get to know a wide variety of people in professional services.
Yeah. Oh, that makes sense. By the way, was Sioux Falls was it a big town whenever you came to Sioux Falls from Dolan? Was it intimidating?
Yeah. We used to go to the state meet every year, and we used to go to the North Central Conference holiday tournament when it was there, too. And those were big deals. That was a big, big deal. So. We Sioux Falls, like I say, everybody made it home for my family except two of my sisters and me. My parents are up there, 89, going to be 90. My mom's going to be 85 here in another few weeks. And so it's going to be great to see them. They'll be there, so you're going to get the best version of me.
Nice.
At the celebrity.
I want the worst version of you. That's more fun.
Yeah. Yeah, Mom will go to the bathroom for sure, and that's what I'll be able to get going.
That's good.
I have to drop on all the I've got a whole bit on how my mom's tried to kill me over the years.
Okay.
And so I'll have to drop that bit, though.
Man, the material you have to prepare. Thank goodness you have all this idle time driving throughout the Midwestern Plains on the banquet circuit to come up with new material for every style. Are you like comedians who have to change their material for every show, or you figure?
No, I'm like Larry the Cable Guy. Okay. I make one character work 90,000 different ways.
There you go.
And I'm making a living out of it, just like that cat has.
Oh, nice. Tim, thank you very, very, very much for your time today. It was really a lot of fun.
Thanks, John. I appreciate you, and good luck with the new gig, and enjoy Lenox.